Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Welcome to worship here at Germantown Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, very wintry day. We are so glad that each and every one of you are here. And for those of you who are joining us online, welcome. We hope that this service is a gift and a blessing to you. If you are a guest, maybe this is your first time or it's been a while, we want to extend a special welcome to each and every one of you. It's our deep hope and prayer that you would feel at home here at Germantown Presbyterian Church. It is a wonderful place where people grow in friendship and faith. I invite you to grab the friendship pads that are on the inside aisle of each pew to note your attendance with us and to pass that along. Got a few announcements. There is a lot going on, and we are so excited. Today is the last day where people can sign up to make a donation to purchase a poinsettia on Christmas Eve for a loved one, whether it's someone who has passed on or someone who is just near and dear to their hearts. So if you'd like to make a donation and write their name legibly, there are envelopes at each of our exits. Really encourage you to check those out and honor someone you love this Christmas season. Today is a special day. This afternoon at 3 p.m., we're going to go and spread a little Christmas cheer to people. We are going Christmas caroling. And so folks are gathering together in the Welcome Center just behind the sanctuary at 3 p.m. Going to go and sing some carols to people, bring a little cheer, and then come back for, this is the hook, a hot chocolate bar. So we're having an amazing hot chocolate bar to cap off in a wonderful afternoon at 5 p.m. back in the Welcome Center. So I encourage you to come and check out this wonderful opportunity as we love on some people this Advent season. Want to let you know that, if you can believe it, Christmas is next Saturday. Christmas Eve is next Saturday. Christmas Day is a week from now. See, we're so busy, we don't even know what day it is. And so I want to let you know that our Christmas Eve services are as follows. We have a 3:30 family service in here, which is spectacular. Highly recommend all of our services. We have a 5:30 large service here as well. And then we have a beautiful 11 p.m. evening service in our historic Evans Chapel. So I encourage you, whatever works best for your family schedule, to come and join us as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. And want you to know that starting Christmas Day, next Sunday, and New Year's Day, right? This year they fall on Sundays. On those two Sundays, we're having just one worship service at 11 o'clock. So we won't be having our morning 8:30 service or our afternoon evening service. And Sunday school and child care will be on pause for just those 2 weeks. And then we'll be back rearing to go on January the 8th. Want to also let you know that we are honored today that Laura and George White, along with their kids Alec and Lauren, are going to be lighting our Advent candle, and we're so glad. And it's apologies that George, we put your name as Greg in the bulletin. Greg is a great name, but we got you, George. So thank you so much. Glad that y'all are here and a blessing. And then finally, you'll see that the last hymn, which is actually printed in your bulletin, the second verse is going to be sung by our amazing choir. With that, I invite you to put down everything I just said and open your hearts and prepare your spirits to worship God.
Thank you. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we light the candle of love. The Bible says that God is love, and throughout history, God has loved his people and called them to faith and service. As God redeems the world from sin, God's love is put into action. We are able to love because God first loved us, and God desires that we share his love with the whole world, with neighbors near and far, with all those who come into our sight.
In the book of Psalms we read, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. And in the New Testament we hear John say, For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Let us pray. Dear God, in this season of Advent, we pray for your love to reign supreme in the world. May your love triumph over all evil, and may your love be the light that guides our lives. Thank you for loving us through your Son, whom you provided for the world. He loved those around him, and he invites us to live in his love every day. Let this Advent and Christmas season be a reminder of your love for all the world and for each of us individually. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to worship on this beautiful fourth Sunday of Advent, where we have come to celebrate the goodness of God together. I invite you to please stand as you are able and join me in our call to worship. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. At Christmas time, we remember that God has chosen to be with us always, in spirit and in truth. So let's approach Jesus with genuine honesty as we confess our sins together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you in this season of hopeful waiting and confess that we have been impatient and mistrusting. We admit that we do not prefer your timing, but the clock we wind for ourselves. We have hurried past the burning bush of your mercy and preferred instead the good redeem worthy of our attention. We listen to so many voices that we struggle to hear, let alone follow your holy whisper, Lord, have mercy on us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Scripture reminds us that the Lord's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It's boundless and limitless. And through Christ, God has not only heard our prayers, but forgiven us of all of our sins. Thanks be to God. As our children come forward, I invite you to greet those around you with a sign of Christ's peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. All right. Great to see everybody this morning. Hope everybody's doing really well. Thanks for being here this morning. And you can see our sanctuary is all decorated, how beautiful it is, and especially our Christmas tree. So we got the Christmas tree in our house last Saturday. Does anybody have a Christmas tree in their house? Okay, fantastic. And it's decorated. This tree's decorated. The tree in our home is decorated. So in our house, we love to have lots of homemade ornaments. Ornaments made a long time ago for some of us, years and years. I brought three ornaments with me to show you this morning. And they're actually all of the same thing. But we have lots of these on our Christmas tree. So we have this one right here. What is that? It is an angel, in fact. It's got one of my kids' names on it and the year she was born, so it's a little bit older than some other ornaments. Here's another ornament, and this one is hanging on our tree usually. What is that?
An angel.
It's an angel. You're exactly right. And then one more right there. That's an angel. It's exactly right. Now, you can't quite see, but that's actually, in the face of the angel is a picture of one of my daughters. And so her picture is in there, and that's sort of the face of an angel. And so angels, we have lots of angels on our Christmas tree at home. And what's so cool is that there are angels in all of the stories about Jesus' birth. We sang about an angel just a few seconds ago in our first hymn. Right after this, our choir is going to sing an anthem, Angels, We Have Heard on High, and you're going to hear talk about angels all this week, not only in our church services, but you're going to hear about angels in the readings and Pastor Mike's sermon. And so I want to tell you one story real quick, share with you a story about an angel and why this story is so important. So I think we need a little audience participation in this story here. So not just you, but everybody gets to be an angel this morning. So angels have wings, right? Okay, so they have wings. Now you can do a wing like this, which is kind of like a chicken, or you could do this. This is sort of angelic, right? So let's have everybody do their angel wings. All right, so every time you hear the word angel in this story that I'm about to tell you, you have to fly your wings, okay? All right, here we go. So way back, there was this man named Joseph. And Joseph was engaged to Mary. And Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a baby. And this, the story tells us in the Bible, made him really confused. And he was perplexed. And he was a little sad. And if you're perplexed, then you walk around all day long with a look like this on your face. And you say, what? Because he was perplexed. How could this be? Mary was going to have a baby while they were engaged. And so he didn't know exactly what to do about this. He was really confused, perplexed, sad, and really not sure what to do. So he went to bed one night, and when he was asleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, an angel came and spoke to him. An angel came and spoke to him and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the baby she will have is from the Holy Spirit. And then the angel said, when this son is born, you're to name him Jesus. And his name, Jesus, literally means he will save his people from their sins. And so then the angel left Joseph's dream, and Joseph woke up, and he thought for a minute, and then he wasn't as perplexed, and he wasn't as confused, because now he knew what to do, because he had a visit from an angel, you guessed it, in that dream, telling him that the special baby Jesus would have was from God. And that he would be a special baby. He would save all of us. When he grew up, he would save all of us from our sins. So that's one of the great stories in the New Testament about Jesus and his birth. Thank you for listening so well, and for everybody being an angel this week as we get ready for Christmas. All right, thanks. Please say after me our prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for angels. And we thank you for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Lord, help us to have a great week as we get ready for Christmas. Amen. All right, thank you.
Well, if that doesn't put you in the Christmas spirit, I don't know what will. Thank you so much, choir. Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. As we open our hearts to what God is going to say to us this morning in these holy words, would you join me in a prayer? Good morning, Lord. Thank you so much for the beauty of this day and for the opportunity that you give us right now to hear your voice in these, your words. Lord, we open to you our heart, our mind, our body, our spirits. We put down everything that has been filling our life, and we take time now to spend time with you, the Lord, author, and perfecter of our life. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture passage we get to rest in this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, from the first chapter and starting with the 18th verse. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." Well, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Well, when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. So most mornings when I drive into work, I have this ritual where I love to listen to NPR. But when I was a kid, I remember my dad would try that, and my sister and brother and I would wail and moan and groan because we thought it was the most boring thing ever. But then you get into your 30s and you realize it's actually pretty great. And it's nice to hear the dulcet tones of Mary Louise Kelly and Giles Snyder give you the latest and greatest in the morning. But I've noticed over the last few weeks that there's been a lot of talk of an economic downturn in the news. There's been some layoffs in a few industries, and people are getting nervous, because there are these various markers that are telling us we're not only entering a season of winter, but maybe an economic winter as well. And when you've lived through tough economic times before, like back in 2008, in 2009, it changes your view of what financial stability looks like. And it makes the wisdom of a backup plan seem really important. And I've thought for years, way before entering ministry, that, you know, if ever something terrible happens and we all got laid off, I think it would be super fun and really fascinating to work at Trader Joe's. Think about it. Have you ever met a Trader Joe's employee that looks like they're having a bad day? No. It's literally impossible because they get to wear Hawaiian t-shirts all day long. They've got these amazing little brass bells that they get to ring when something is wrong at the register. There's always like fascinating food. They just seem like they love what they do. It's good to have a backup plan. And we know that there are sometimes moments happen in life when you get a curveball that you couldn't anticipate even if you tried. And that's exactly what's happening in the passage that we just heard. We're in this fascinating Advent series called Waiting Well, where we've been exploring what it looks like to really lean into Christmas this year by acquiring the spiritual practice of patience. And then you get moments like this one that makes the idea of waiting on the Lord seem fantastic in theory, but almost impossible in practice. There were these two young people named Mary and Joseph who were locked into an arranged marriage, and they had been born to working class families, and by all that we know, they were the kind of people that you wanted in your life. They were kind and generous, people of deep faith, good character, what some people would say is high moral fiber. The kind of people that everybody points to and says their parents did something right. Until that one day. That one day when it was discovered that Mary somehow, some way, got pregnant out of wedlock. And you had to know that messages were flying between her parents and Joseph's. How could you let this happen? Me? What are you talking about? What kind of house are you running over there? It was a scandal that was not only going to ruin the reputation of these good people, but it was also going to sully their family's names. And what's even worse is Mary claims that it was God that got her pregnant. It was God's fault. Talk about the ultimate excuse. And never in his wildest dreams could Joseph have come up with a backup plan for something like that. So to get ahead of the story as much as he could, Joseph chooses the high road to legally end their relationship privately, so everyone can save a little face and allow Mary and whoever this child is to have some semblance of a good life. This was not how he thought his life was going to pan out. And so Joseph resolved to do the right as God gave him to see the right. As I was sitting with this passage this morning and all week, I couldn't help but think of those same exact words. For those of you who might be history buffs, those are words taken from Abraham Lincoln's second presidential inaugural address. He was trying to keep everybody together, and he was tortured constantly by being in these lose-lose situations. just like Joseph. And so in this incredibly famous speech, Lincoln calls on our better angels to come, to put down fear and malice and allow grace and charity to win, to do the right as God gives us to see the right. Well, maybe for you, you didn't wake up this morning with some deeply biblical existential question on your heart and mind. But we do know what it's like to do all the right things, and yet life doesn't always pan out the way that we were promised, the way that we were told it would if you do all the right things. Maybe you have eaten healthy, and you have exercised, and you've done all the good things and followed all the guidelines, and still you got sick again. Thought you were past it back in October, and then in November, and here we are again. Or maybe now that school is out, you're ready for some rest, some much-needed time off, just to enjoy the holidays. And then you come to that moment when you wake up and you don't have to wake up early, and your body still gets you up at 6:30 in the morning. And you have a whole day stretching out before you, and yet you find yourself quickly getting bored when you should feel excited that you have nothing to do. Instead of that being a moment of disappointment or just the way life goes sometimes, I think Joseph would say there's actually more going on than meets the eye, because this is exactly how Christmas always starts. But it never is how it ends. Because Joseph had one of those moments too, where he felt like he couldn't trust the words of his fiance. Maybe he couldn't even trust himself because obviously he missed something. He was scared and disappointed and hurt. And it says that after he had gone through all of that, after he'd processed everything, probably with his parents as well, he figured out what the right thing to do is. Then the Lord appeared in a dream through an angel. You know, God could have showed up at the beginning of that and saved him all of those questions, all of that frustration, all of that wondering in his heart. But God wanted Joseph to wrestle with these things first, to bring him to the water's edge of his hopes and his dreams and best laid plans in order to grant him a stunning Christmas gift. The grace of a new life that is bigger and more beautiful than he could ever hope or imagine. And this reveals a deeper, spectacular dimension of Advent, this season that we're in. That it's not just about us waiting for God and Christmas to arrive. It's not just about us doing all the things to get in the holiday spirit and align our lives with Christ. It is that, and it's also about God waiting with us very patiently in order to lead us to a better place where we can more fully love and trust in Him. Because God is always doing something new in our lives. So wherever things just aren't as festive or going according to plan, wherever you feel depleted or stir crazy, wherever you have reached the limit of making Christmas perfect, know that God is more than just right there. Jesus is working on you and with you, preparing you to receive the gift of a better life through deeper love and trust in Him. And that is a relief. Amen.
My friends, we have been blessed to hear God's word read and proclaimed to us, and now we have an opportunity to stand together and with one voice affirm our faith, and we will use the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us join together our hearts and our minds before God in prayer. Let us pray. You are our Creator, O God. You are the one to whom we turn in all seasons of life. We turn to you in the spring of life when we are young and nimble and the future is fresh and exciting, because there you are God, and you nurture us in faith and you feed our growth. We turn to you in the summer of life as we grow stronger and mature, when we produce abundantly and have great vitality, because you are God and you rain wisdom upon us and you teach us even through our mistakes. We turn to you in the autumn of life when there's great beauty to behold, but also when unmet expectations become disappearing dreams, because you are the God who reassures us that you have been leading us all along. And we turn to you in the winter of life when cold age brings slowing movement and eventually a standstill, because you are God, ready to receive us in your radiant warmth and your heavenly splendor. God, our Creator, in this congregation this morning, we represent all seasons of life, and you have created each person in your image. And so for this gift of living, we are grateful. For the gift of loving, we are grateful. We acknowledge that you made us to do both, to live in love and to love to live. And so we pray today for those for whom either is difficult, either living or loving. We pray that you would be especially close to them and relieve them of whatever encumbers life as you created it to be. On this day, O God, with those in our church family, in our extended families, we pray that you would be with the sick, be with the hurting, the injured, and the dying. And in this Advent season, O God, and especially at Christmas, we pray that you would give each of us such a vision of your love made alive in Jesus Christ that we would never be the same for having been in his presence. It is in his presence and in his name that together we lift our many voices into one and pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As grateful followers of Jesus Christ, we now come to return to him a portion of all that we are, the work of our hands and the labors of our hearts. We now continue to worship through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Amen.
Family of faith, go. May the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest in and abide with you always. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you.